That is a great truth we can hold as Christians, that the kingdom of God will never end. The victory is already won. We're just waiting for our King to return, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to welcome you here today for Friend Day at Freeway Baptist Church. I want to apologize the pastor's not able to be here, but he, of course, is hospitalized, and our prayers need to be with him as he is going through the various tests as doctors are looking out. The cardiologist was there this morning. And when we left him last night, about midnight, his eyes were getting heavy. He got his first shot of morphine, and he said it felt awfully weird. But just have your prayers be with Pastor. He as Bert said, he said several times that he was very disappointed he could not be here. He's put a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of prayer in today's day, and the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is in control. And that is the only reason I'm up here speaking, because I would much rather have Pastoral Chapel up here on Friend Day. But I was told last night to have a message about 9:30. And so I don't know how long I'd be. I don't know how much sense I'll make. But I feel I do have a thought, if not a message, a thought that I want to put upon your minds today. And being Friend Day, I want to emphasize the kind of friend, the kind of shepherd that Jesus Christ can be to us personally. And I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture that everybody knows. It's Psalm 23. If you could turn there in your Bible, Psalm 23. I was thinking about Friend Day, and Proverbs 18:14 came in my mind. And of course it says there, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. But then the latter part of that verse is what really strikes close and is a comfort. It says there, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Of course, that friend is our shepherd, Jesus Christ. And today, I want to bring you a message called My Personal Shepherd. My Personal Shepherd. And we see this in Psalm 23. Not only a shepherd, but a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that will be there in times when we need him, that will be there when we're going through the trials and tribulations of life. A shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, I'd like to read it and then we'll get started. It says there, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we're able to open up the precious Word of God. And I pray now that the Holy Spirit would have complete control of this service, complete control of me and my tongue, and give me the wisdom I need to reveal today how great of a shepherd you are to us, how great of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I pray that you'd be with the congregation today. I pray that your blessing would be upon them. And I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal shepherd, that they'd hear the words of God today that reveals to them how they can have you as their personal shepherd, and how their life will be completely changed, and how they can dwell forever with you in eternity in heaven's glories. I thank you for your love and for your grace. I pray that your hand again would be upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen. My personal shepherd. That is what God is. He is the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. He is someone that will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, as the Scripture says. And though there are times in our lives as Christians, we do not feel that way at all. It is an absolute fact. There are times in our lives where trials come. There's situations that happen in our lives. We have no idea why it's happened. We have no idea why the Lord has struck us down with a disease or caused a loved one to pass away. We have no idea why the Lord has done it. But I guarantee you this, the Lord is your shepherd if you simply accept Him as the Savior, Jesus Christ, God. He is my personal shepherd. He's not some shepherd in the distance where you say, oh, I know of him. He tends to this flock over here. Or, oh yes, I know someone where he is a shepherd to them. No, he can be your personal shepherd. That is an amazing truth, and I know today that I will not be able to communicate the depths of that truth, because it is simply amazing when you stop and think that the God of this universe, that created everything, that is in power and control of everything, loves you personally. He knows you personally. He has the hairs on your head numbered. He cares for you. And this idea of a shepherd and the sheep is an idea that the Scripture reveals to about 1,000 times. Our relationship with God the Father, that He is the shepherd and we are His sheep. And He wants to take care of us and lead us to green pastures, lead us beside the still waters if we simply just trust in Him. He is my personal shepherd, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But you know, I can stand here all day and tell you how that the Lord is your shepherd. But many of us automatically go to the question in our human nature and say, well, is He qualified? I hear you telling me that He's my shepherd, but am I sure I really want Him to be? Is He qualified? Does He bear the record that He can be a good shepherd? And I hope by the end of the message today, you will say with an emphatic yes that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, is overqualified to be your personal shepherd. And He will take care of you better than you could take care of yourself. That is my Lord. That is my King of Kings. That is my friend. That is my shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that I'm going to reveal that to you is, first of all, give you 3 points of what this shepherd is. And the first point that I want to reveal to you is that the Lord is my good shepherd. Here in this psalm, we actually have a trilogy. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and 24 are a trilogy that the Holy Spirit has given to us, revealing to us how that the Lord is our shepherd. In Psalm 22, it is revealed to us that He is the good shepherd because He gave His life upon a cross for us. In Psalm 23, it's revealed to us that He is the great shepherd because He has risen again in intercessions for us at the right hand of the Father, giving us what we need. And then Psalm 24 reveals to us that He is the chief shepherd because He's coming back for us again. Those are the 3 points of the message. So if you were thinking of cutting out, you already have the message and you got to study it. But anyways, we need to realize that God is our good, our great, and our chief shepherd. And Scripture clearly reveals this to us. You don't need to turn there, but I would like to read you a verse for point one. That the Lord is my good shepherd. And the Bible specifically tells us that He is our good shepherd. And you say, well, wait a minute. You can say all you want that someone's good, but what is the qualification for being a good shepherd? And does he fit the bill? Well, first of all, the qualification for a good shepherd is found in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 10 through 11, it says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Catch this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What is the qualification for Jesus Christ to be the good shepherd of your life? The qualification is that He gives His life for you. And I'm here to reveal to you today that Jesus Christ met that requirement to an umpteenth degree. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Because He gave His life for the sheep, you and I. There was a disease that all of us committed, and it was called sin. We have it. And as you all know Romans 6, how it says the wages of sin is death. Whether you like it or not, sin has a penalty. And the only penalty, unfortunately, is death. And yet the good shepherd realized this penalty that was upon the sheep that He loved, and He came down upon this earth and He died upon a cross to shed His blood, to lay down His life for the sheep. No man took His life, as He said to Pilate. I lay it down, He said. When he was on the cross, he said it was a finish, and he gave up the ghost. No man took the ghost from him. He gave it up for you because he is the good shepherd. And to review to you how good and how loving of an action that is, just think of it on our own terms. If you were a sheep herder and you had a sheep walking around, by the way, sheep aren't known as the smartest animals on the planet. To be a sheep herder, you're going to face some frustrations in life because sheep basically have to be directed wherever they go. They will literally starve to death because they don't know how to find green pastures. They have to be led. And just think about this. Let's say if you were a shepherd and you had sheep, and you had one sheep that performed an action you knew that required death. And you say, no, I love this sheep so much. I myself, the shepherd, am going to erect a cross in the pasture field and put myself upon it and die for this sheep. Who here in their right mind would do that? Nobody. And the reason is because we don't have the depth of love that Christ has for us. Christ left the glories of heaven to come down upon this earth to shed His blood upon a cross for the sheep, for you and I. He is the good shepherd. He laid His life down for you and I. You know, in Isaiah, I'm going to read you a passage, but in Isaiah 53, it is very telling of what the Lord went through for His sheep. It says in Isaiah 53, 3 through 6, He was despised and rejected of men. This is talking about Jesus Christ. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. That's the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, and what He went through upon this earth to pay the penalty for my sin. I deserved the penalty, but He took it because He loved me and He laid His life down for me. You know, and this wasn't some 20-second torture that Jesus Christ went through. Jesus Christ, who had foreknowledge, knew exactly what He would go through upon this earth to pay for the penalty of our sin, and He still willingly did it. Have you ever stopped to think of what Christ actually went through upon the cross? It wasn't something simple as being laying down on a cross and having nails driven through your hands and feet. It was much more torturous than that. Matter of fact, the Scripture says His body didn't even resemble the form of a man. He was so badly beaten. It says there in the passage I read to you, Isaiah 53, that with His stripes we are healed. The stripes that's talking about is Jesus was whipped prior to His crucifixion with what they call a cat of nine tails. This whip was intertwined with what we might consider barbed wire today and pieces of glass all through that leather. And they would take that whip and they'd put it into the back of Jesus Christ and it would latch hold and then they'd rip it off, tearing flesh. It says in Psalm 22, go to verse 17, it says, I tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. The bones of Jesus Christ were bore so that you could see His actual bones showing through, His ribs showing through. And that is why Psalm 22 reveals to us that He's the Good Shepherd, because it's prophetic. It says the words of Christ upon the cross. The very first verse says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ went through much, and that cat of nine tails ripped into His back, bearing the flesh, bearing the bones, several times over and over again. And if that wasn't enough, the Roman soldiers decided to make a crown of thorns. They would take these thorns, and many of you in Arizona have been out in the desert and probably been sticked with a thorn. It doesn't feel all that great. But they would make a crown of thorns. They placed it upon his head and pressed it down into his skull. And then they spat upon him. They hit him with their hands. And then they took this old rugged cross and they threw it upon his back, the back that was laid bare from the whip, and the splinters of that wood would be going into that bare back of his bleeding and broken and bruised. And he would have carried that cross up Golgotha. Then they would have laid him upon the cross. And they would have stretched out his arms. And this wasn't simply just placing the hands upon the cross and driving a nail through it. They would have taken that arm and pulled it till it came out of its socket. Then they would have driven a nail through his wrist and then through both of his feet. And then he would have been suspended in the air, basically left to die of suffocation. Exposed to the elements. He did that willingly. Why? Because he loves you. And he knew that there was no other way. He knew unless his blood was shed, you would spend an eternity away from him. You would never be able to know his presence, never be able to spend an eternity in heaven forever and ever. You would be forever condemned to the depths of hell that burneth, where the fire is never quenched, as the scripture says, where the worm dieth not and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You would be forever condemned to that if he had not willingly accepted the fate of the cross and paid the penalty, shed his blood for our sin. That's what makes him my good shepherd. He is my good shepherd, catch this, because he delivered me from the penalty of sin. I do not have to pay the penalty of my sin because Jesus Christ I have accepted into my life. I have accepted him as my Savior, and his blood has washed me and made me whole. Even though I am a sinner, even though I have sinned, very simply because I have confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I was saved. And that blood came upon my life and washed every sin away so that it can never be seen again. It doesn't cover the sin, it washes it away. You are perfect in the eyes of God when you accept him as your Savior. And he becomes your good shepherd because he at that point paid the penalty for your sin. If you never accept him as your Savior, guess what? The penalty for your sin is still resting upon your shoulders, and you'll never be able to pay it, no matter how many good works you try to do. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is solely upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his blood shed upon the cross. And we need to realize the scripture says that if I shall confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you. Whosoever means everybody. If you simply accept him as your Savior, I don't care what sin you've committed, how heinous, how disgusting you may think it is. You can rival the sins of what you might consider Hitler or Stalin, who've murdered thousands of people, and you can still accept Jesus Christ as your good shepherd because he loves you. And he wants to wash that sin away. The good shepherd is calling to you. Yet many times we, as people, think, well, I'm just going to give myself a go. I'm going to try and live this life the way I want to live it. I'm pretty smart. I have some stuff figured out. And I've got a goal to where I can be when I'm 50, and I bet you I can work my way where I need to be. You know, the Scripture says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. You need the good shepherd in your life. You need the good shepherd who is the good shepherd because he paid the penalty for your sin. Until you come to that point in your life, I'm afraid the end thereof is the way of death. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I'm so glad He is my good shepherd. But you know what? God didn't stop there. It wasn't good enough just to be the good shepherd. God is also my great shepherd. My personal great shepherd. And you can see this in Psalm 23. What is the qualification for being the great shepherd? Well, I'll read you another verse. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21, it says this, Now the God of peace, the brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What is the qualification for God to be the great shepherd? We've already seen that He qualifies to be your good shepherd because He paid the penalty for your sin. What's the requirement to be the great shepherd? It's very simply this. The requirement is He delivered me from the power of sin. He's the good shepherd because He delivered me from the penalty, and He's the great one because He delivered me from the power of sin. Jesus Christ didn't stay dead in the grave. He crucified a brutal death. He died a brutal death upon the cross of Calvary. And He died, folks. Dead as a doornail, died. But He rose Himself back up 3 days later. Amen. And up from the grave He arose. That is my God, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 13, 20 through 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. He qualifies to be my great shepherd because when I accept Him into my life and accept Him as my Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells within me, and the Holy Spirit gives me the power from that moment on to live a life that is pleasing to God, separated from sin. He gives me the power to overcome sin. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, if you're trying to overcome things in your life today that you would consider sin, if you're just bogged down with weights of this world and you just can't overcome it, guess what? You're never going to make it until Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior. You don't have any power to overcome the sin of this world. You don't have any power to overcome the penalty of sin in this world until Jesus Christ becomes your personal shepherd. But when He does, the Holy Spirit indwells you. God Himself lives in you. And at that point, you have the power to overcome sin. Now, I am saved, but I'm not sinless. Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't. I know. I'm not going to say probably. I'm not going to try and be pious. I know I would not be able to raise my hand if you asked me, have you gone a week without sinning? No. But that's not my fault. That's not God's fault. That's my fault. Because God has given me the power to live for Him. It's called the Holy Spirit. And we as Christians and we as people need to stop blaming God when we fall into something and say, Lord, why in the world did you let me do that? Well, He didn't. You just did it on your own. We chose to perform in a sin that we knew was wrong. And I guarantee everybody in this room would have to raise their hand if I looked at you and said, listen, Did you know it was wrong and still by choice did it? Yeah? No, don't raise your hands. I am sick to death of myself on how many times I knew it was wrong. I knew that I should be doing something that I wasn't doing, and I still chose no. I don't want to. I'm tired. I got a headache. I don't like that person. And that is times when we have come away from the great shepherd, when we have not allowed him to take control of our lives. You know, we need to be in Bible reading, Christian. We need to be reading the precious Word of God daily, because only then can we find out how we are to live, and only then can we have a permanent foundation on which to stand on and how we should live, and to give us that firepower we need when the devil comes around and does tempt us with that sin. You know, Jesus Christ was tempted as we were in the wilderness. Satan himself came to Jesus Christ and he tempted him to sin. And Jesus Christ made it through with flying colors. How'd he do it? He quoted the scripture to the devil. If Jesus Christ, God himself, had to use the scripture, what do you think you have to use? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God becomes our great shepherd because he gives us the power to overcome that sin. It's not his fault when we fall into it. It's ours because we've stopped believing. It's a lack of faith when we fall into sin. A lack of faith believing in what God can do in our lives if we just follow him, and how much greater our lives can be with him. So he's my good personal shepherd because he paid for the penalty of my sin. He's my great shepherd because he delivered me from the power of sin. As it says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That is the great shepherd. He has risen from the dead from Psalm 22. He becomes the great shepherd. But in Psalm 24, if you were to read that, you move on to the third point. And that is that the Lord is my chief shepherd. He's not only my good, he's not only my great shepherd, but he's my chief shepherd. He became my good shepherd when he paid that penalty of sin. He became my great shepherd when he delivered me from the power of sin. And he becomes my chief shepherd when he delivers me from the presence of sin one day. The Lord is my chief shepherd because he loves me, and one day he's coming back. And he's going to deliver me once and for all from all the presence of sin. I'm never going to see it again. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When the chief shepherd shall appear, that's talking about his coming back for you and I. Listen, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he becomes your personal shepherd, and he is coming back for you because he loves you. He didn't die upon a cross just so that you could live a life as a Christian. He died upon a cross so that you could spend eternity with him. And he's coming for you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. My chief shepherd is coming back for me because he loves me. The sad part to that is if you have never accepted him as your Savior, he's not coming back for you. You have to believe. You have to accept him as your Savior. Or else you'll never experience the good, the great, and the chief shepherd in your life. You'll never experience the deliverance from the penalty of sin. You'll never experience the power over sin. And you'll never experience the deliverance from the presence of sin if Jesus Christ never becomes your Lord and Savior. It is through Him the way, the truth, and the life. If you look at Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, it sends goosebumps up and down my back because I know He's coming for me. Look at that. Psalm 24, verse 7, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Shalah. That King of glory is my King. He's my Lord of lords. He's my King of kings. He's my personal shepherd. He is my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And He's coming back for me. And I'm going to lift up the gates so that my King may come in. It's time we get excited, Christian, that the Lord's coming back. And it's time we start being people of action, realizing that others need to know of this good, great, and chief shepherd. Because without knowing Him, they'll never experience the blessings of having a personal shepherd in their life. They'll never experience a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Psalm 23 is beautiful. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where are you going to be dwelling forever? Will you be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, making Him your personal shepherd? If not, that is why we're here today. To reveal to you the fact that God loves you, that God wants to save you, that God wants to deliver you from the penalty of your sin, that God wants to give you the power to overcome that sin, and that God wants to deliver you from the presence of that sin coming back for you. If you've never done that, we're going to give an invitation where you can come forward and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make Christ your shepherd. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your grace. And I pray that if there's even one here today that does not know You as their shepherd, does not know You as their Savior, I pray that You'd convict their heart and they'd be able to come forward and we'd be able to show them from the Scripture how they can accept You as their personal shepherd, their personal Savior. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move and that without Him we can do nothing. I just pray that Your blessings would be upon this congregation. And I pray that You be with Pastor. Give him the strength to overcome what he's going through. I pray that the Holy Ghost would just cause healing in that area and You give the doctors wisdom. I thank You for Your love and Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.